Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I am privileged and delighted to welcome a very, very well-known individual from the UK, Robin Kermode. Robin, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin is a communication coach. But more importantly, he's spent 30 years as an actor. He's acted in over 40 films and series. And more recently, we have seen him in The Crown, Close, and Iron Lady. He's a media commentator. And as all of you know, I'm partial to authors. He's an author, so speak so your audience will listen. And he's also a podcast host under the title, The Art of Communication. So Robin, such an amazing and diverse career. Tell me about your journey from an actor to a speaker and a coach.
Well, it's interesting. I was an actor, as you said, for 30 years. And my wife said to me, I think you'd be a really good coach. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't know anything about coaching. And she said, well, I think you'd be really good. So she said, I've got a friend of mine who's a CEO. Mm-hmm. And would you help him on a speech? Mm-hmm. So I helped him on the speech. And he said, well, that was really helpful. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, maybe there is a business here. So, of course, I then learned, and I spent 5 years working for various companies and running courses. I maybe had 10 people a day, 5 days a week for 5 years. And I met lots and lots of different personality types. And I heard all the various stories that people have around their nerves around presenting, their worry about structuring properly, their desire to connect with an audience quickly. And I think one of the challenges with modern communication, there are two challenges. One, people want real authenticity. They don't want old-fashioned presenting. You know, people talk about presentation skills. Someone said to me, are you a presentation trainer? And I said, no, I'm not, because I think that's a very old-fashioned concept. And I never want anyone to think of it as a presentation. Mm. I just think, have a conversation with your audience. So that's the first thing, is the authenticity piece. And the second piece is how we get people's attention, because audiences' attentions, as we all know, are shorter. So we have to structure things in a way that get their attention right up front without trying to sell. So we don't want to look too desperate like a TV commercial, but we want to get our message so appropriately quick so that it lands in an authentic way.
Incredible. Incredible. So for all my viewers and listeners, let's start with asking you a question. What is a communication coach?
Well, I think I'm a mirror, really. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I really do is I brainstorm with people how they could be better. And I remember working with the CEO of one of, in the UK, we have four big supermarkets. And I was working with the CEO of one of them. And he said to me, Robin, he said, you've seen me give a speech to 2,500 people. He said, can you tell me if I'm good or not? Because nobody's going to tell me. Mm-hmm. And I think what often happens is, you know, as you know, when you get to the top of an organization, it's very lonely because nobody's going to tell you the honest truth. Okay. So one of the reasons for having a communication coach is for an external mirror with no judgment, just to say, look, these are all the things you're really good at. If you change these couple of things, you're going to be great. Wow. So I think what a communication coach can do is to save you a lot of time.
Okay. And based on all the people you have worked with, what are some of the challenges people face in communication and public speaking?
Well, the biggest one is nerves. I mean, and when people say they don't get nervous, I really don't believe them. I've worked with prime ministers and things, and people say, you know, we're starting in a minute, you know, am I all right? You know, and one man I was working with, we had about 30 seconds to go before the big speech. And he turned to me and we were on a little side room, and he said, he was checking his hair in the mirror and everything. And he said, Robert, can I ask you something? And I said, yes, 30 seconds to go. And I said, yeah, of course. He said, do I sound like a prime minister? Do I look like a prime minister? So these are human worries, you know, that all of us have. And whether we're the kind of person who shakes, you know, with a piece of paper and they're super nervous, or whether they have a long way to fall, in other words, if their position is very high, both sets of people get nervous. So I think the biggest thing is nerves. And people don't like being looked at sometimes. They say, I don't like being the center of attention.
Correct.
Some people love it, of course, and some people don't like it. So those are the two biggest issues, I would say. And then, of course, how you structure.
Correct. And, you know, the term I would imagine is stage fright, and you would know it both from the stage as well as...
Yeah, of course, of course. And of course, and you know, there are classic, seven classic fight or flight responses, you know, when people get nervous. And the first thing that happens, of course, is your heart rate goes up because your body is preparing to run. Well, of course, you can't run because you're giving a presentation. But if your heart rate is going up because the blood here is pumping oxygen and adrenaline to the legs and the arms so that you can run, which means that you have less blood in your head, so you tend to forget what you're going to say. You have too much adrenaline in your eyes, so people can often look a little bit starey, you know, as if they're trying to find an escape route. So the speaker looks a little bit manic and not very calm. Then the next thing that happens is coming down the head here to the throat. If you're going to run, you don't want to choke on saliva, so the brain stops producing saliva, so you end up with a dry mouth, which is not great, which is why water's a very good thing. And coffee's not a great thing. People think, oh, I'll drink coffee, you know, it'll give me a buzz. Well, actually, you've got enough of a buzz with adrenaline. And also coffee is a diuretic, so it takes the water off the throat.
Okay.
The next thing that happens that's not great in the fight or flight is that the subconscious brain says, maybe this threat, this dinosaur in ancient times, maybe it hasn't seen you.
Mm.
So let's not make a sound. And what it does is it turns the voice box off. Mm. Well, of course, you know, we want to communicate, so we want the voice box to work. And if we don't warm the voice up or say something before we start speaking, often we end up with this kind of, good morning, everybody, excuse me, this kind of squeaky start.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to start cleanly. And so I give people exercises to combat all the seven fight or flight responses, so that, which is what actors do before they go on stage. You shake your hands, you wake your face up, you get rid of all the excess adrenaline.
Amazing.
And there's one top tip. I don't know if we're doing top tips today, but I'll give you one quick
please,
one.
Please, of course.
So you know this thing where you see people shaking like this with their piece of paper like this? Mm. Well, I discovered it's physically impossible to shake if you clench your buttock muscles.
Okay.
Just tighten the buttock muscle. Now, you can actually, there are three muscle groups you can do. They're the big muscle groups in the body. So you can tighten your buttocks, you can lock your thighs, tighten your thigh muscles, or tighten your core if you've done a lot of gym or yoga or Pilates, this kind of thing. But if you tighten those big muscle groups, what happens is the subconscious brain says, you're moving the big muscle groups, which means you're probably running, so I can now stop producing adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So literally, if you're standing on a platform and you're about to give a speech, if you tighten your thigh muscles or your buttock muscles or your stomach, tighten them really hard, the whole fight or flight process stops and the adrenaline stops and you feel much calmer and you can't shake.
Wow. This is amazing. The seven, you know, steps that you just told me, that of wanting to run or, you know, stop the shaking. I think these are just amazing kind of...
Well, I think the thing is, what I do as a coach is I through science and through lots of research, I find very simple things that people can do that work scientifically and emotionally. So, you know, if I say to somebody, I think you're a really good speaker, the next time you give a speech, there are 37 things you need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't possibly do that.
Correct.
But if I say to them, do you know what? Just go to the center of the stage, stand there for 2 seconds and just tighten your buttock muscles.
Mm.
Well, we can kind of do that and it kind of works. And also, it gives us something else to think about. Mm. Instead of being nervous, we think this is slightly comic, really. Nobody knows I'm doing this, but it, you know, it stops the fight or flight.
Absolutely. How incredible. Hmm. So moving on, you know, you told me about how to handle a lot of these communication problems. Hmm. But the question that I have is that how does better communication help me as an individual to be able to communicate with so many other people? I mean, it seems like a very simple or a trite question, but I think a lot of people have this concern.
Yes, no, I understand that. And a lot of people would say, but I talk to people every day. I mean, I can go to a networking event and I can hand out my business cards and talk to people. It's fine. You know, what do I need? And the answer is, in most scenarios, we don't need very much help, of course. But when I'm working with senior people around their communication skills, there are things often around how to have that executive presence that a leader has. You know, what is it? You know, you and I could be at a networking event and we look across and we see somebody walk in and we go, she's impressive, he's impressive.
Mm.
They're not arrogant. And there are some people who walk in and we think you're a little bit arrogant. You're trying to pull focus. But the kind of people who have a genuine charisma, in a sense, I suppose, a sort of X factor. And you look at them, you think, they must be somebody. They must be running some organization, or they just look like a leader. We haven't even interacted with them, and we think that. And I worked out that this is another tip today, is that leaders, people who look confident, mm-hmm. they have a low center of gravity.
Okay.
And if you have a low center of gravity, it makes you physically look more confident. Mm-hmm. When people get nervous, the center of gravity tends to rise, mm-hmm. and then people tend to be a little bit too fast, a little bit too keen, a little bit bouncy. But the very impressive people that I've met are actually very centered. And the center come and the center of gravity is below your belly button. So it's right down in the lower gut there. So if you tighten your thigh muscles or your buttocks or your core, what you're doing is you're lowering your center of gravity. So in fact, it does several things. It not just stops the fight or flight, it also makes you look more physically confident.
And you are a communication coach. Can I become a much, much more powerful speaker to a large audience through training?
Well, the answer is probably not in your case, because you're probably very, very good.
No, but I'm saying as any individual.
Well, as any of us can get better, I can get better. I'm experienced and I can hold an audience, and I know how to do that mm-hmm. from my experience as an actor, but also from the work I've done on communication. Mm-hmm. But I watch a video back of myself and I learn. I look at the video and I think, oh, do I really do that? That's terrible. But there's always room for improvement. And I think that the exciting thing about communication is what we're trying to do is we're trying to connect with different types of people. And one of my challenges was when I first started being a coach is I had to learn a whole new business language because I'd been in the world of theater, where in everyone calls everyone darling and everybody's very friendly, and it's a very different world to the business speak. And I was going into corporates and selling myself as a trainer, as a coach. And I said to my wife, it's really interesting because some meetings go well and some meetings don't go well. And it seems to be down to them. In other words, if they were receptive, if they were friendly and encouraging, then the meeting went well. And if they were difficult, the meeting didn't go well. And I thought, but if I'm a communication coach, I must make every meeting go well, because otherwise, there's no point being a communication coach. There's no point in communication if you can't change a situation. And I came up with a system a few years ago, which I teach my clients, mm-hmm. How you can walk into every meeting and you make every meeting go well. And I haven't had, hand on heart, I haven't had a bad meeting in 15 years. Wow. And what I do is, what I used to do was I used to treat everyone the same. Mm-hmm. In other words, I used to go into a meeting thinking, well, I'm quite friendly, I'm quite nice, I'm not particularly threatening. Why would they not want to talk to me? Why would they not engage with me? But of course, people have other agendas. They have other things going on in their lives, mm-hmm. and it may not be a good time for them. It may not be an appropriate message for them. Mm-hmm. And maybe I sound like, I don't know, a teacher they had at school they don't like. There's all sorts of things in their memory bank that I have no control over. But what I can do is to read the situation better. So what I now do is I look around the room and I read people very well. This is what I teach my clients to do. Mm-hmm. So you think, okay, this person over here, they need to be treated in this way. This person over here, they need maybe a bit of encouragement and flattery. This person maybe just wants it very straight. And so by reading the room and communicating effectively, I think that's really why people have a coach, I think, is to analyze some of that stuff. And we learn a lot of this through life anyway, but I work with people maybe in their, over all ages, but if I'm working with somebody quite senior, maybe who's been promoted early, maybe in their early 30s, early 40s, that kind of age, by the time they get to 60, they probably would have gained a lot of confidence anyway and a lot of experience. If I can give them that 20 years experience now, so they can get it in their early 30s, they're saving so much time. And I wish somebody had been able to teach me what I now know. Mm-hmm. If I knew what I know now when I was 21, I would have taken the world by storm.
But I didn't. Completely agree with you.
I didn't. And maybe you can't learn it at 21, but I work with people at 21 and I do help them and I can see the difference. And I'm thinking, we just need to articulate it in a way that people of all ages can understand.
Incredible. So I've got one more question relating to coaching. I think you answered some of that just now. But my question is that as a communication individual or someone, when I want to communicate or when anyone wants to communicate, do I need to change my strategies when I'm talking to a group of 2,500 people at my annual general meeting or to my board where it's in a boardroom when it's just 10 people or to my staff where everyone knows I'm the boss?
Yeah. This is a really, really good question. I think, and this is a journey I've been on myself, and this is why I think I'm able to encourage other people to do the same and to teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any difference between how we're talking now and how we would be talking even if we were having a coffee together in person, as opposed to by online. Mm-hmm. There's no difference between one-to-one and me talking to the board, or me talking to my staff, or me talking to 1,000 people, or maybe talking to 20,000 people. Exactly. There is no difference. If I'm in a larger venue where there's 2,500 people, I have a microphone. I don't have to shout. I can be exactly the same person I am now. What happens is, of course, it doesn't feel the same, because you stand there and you go, that's a lot of people, okay. And you suddenly think, I have to kind of entertain them and be a performing monkey or something. But actually, I mean, the best example I can give is really around language. Mm-hmm. I was giving a big talk in America a few years ago. My wife phoned me up 10 minutes before and she said, just to wish you good luck for your big talk. And I said, I'm not giving a big talk. Mm-hmm. She said, yes, you are. You're giving a big talk in 2,500 people in 10 minutes. Mm. And I said, no. I'm having a chat with a few people.
Wonderful.
And she said, have they cancelled the talk? I said, no. In my mind, I have to think of it as a chat. Rather like if you go to a job interview, if you say, I'm going for a meeting, you know, a lot of people say to me, I have to present to the board. I get very nervous when I present to the board. Yep. And I said, don't say to yourself, I'm presenting to the board. Just in your calendar, say, I'm meeting with the board. It puts you on much more even status. So I think I'm meeting with the board. I'm having a meeting about a job. I'm having a chat with a few people if I'm giving a speech. And I think that language is very helpful, because then we have the same level of authenticity that we have one-to-one in a larger group.
Fascinating. What you're telling me is that don't let your mind play tricks with you.
Don't let your mind play tricks. And also, what you really want, what an audience really wants, is they want to feel, if they met you afterwards, and often you mingle around, if they met you afterwards, you would be exactly the same as you were on stage. And that's the level of authenticity that I think audiences want nowadays. And if you think, yes, that was a very good performance up there, but I think if I met you, you wouldn't be quite the same. Mm. They don't buy into you as well. So actually, you've kind of got to let the public mask drop and go, this is who I am. And if things go wrong, you say, do you know what? I've forgotten where I am. And nobody in the audience says, that was terrible. They just say, well, it's human, of course. You know. So I think the humanity, I mean, I always say there are three things we need for communication: energy, clarity, and humanity. Those three things. Energy, because we need maybe 10% more than normal, just to keep our mind focused. Probably adrenaline will give that to us anyway, but so energy. Clarity, as in we're really clear in the way we say it, in our voice and our articulation, our body language, but also in the messaging. And then the humanity bit, it just has to be one human being talking to another. And that's, there we're home and dry, I think.
Incredible. So Robin, now let's move to another segment of our conversation. I would love to talk to you about your book and then your podcast. Tell me about your book.
Well, the book, I wrote the book because at the end of a coaching session, people would often say to me, do you have any handout notes, Robin? And I had a couple of sheets of A4 and I thought it didn't look very professional. And it was, they were good notes, but they were quite brief, inevitably, bullet pointy things. And I thought, why didn't I just put down everything I know about communication in a very, very easy to read way. And I've read so many books on communication, and I'm sure you have, and how to make speeches and things. I mean, the best book ever written, I mean, I love my book and I'm very proud of it, but I think the best book ever written is still Dale Carnegie's How to Win absolutely. Friends and Influence People, written in the 30s. It's absolutely fabulous about how you connect. Mine is slightly more around actually making a speech and this kind of thing and presenting. But I've written it in a way where there's lots of space on the page, so and they're bite-sized chunks, so it's very, very easy to read. And the other thing was I dictated it because I wanted it to feel like it was just me talking to the reader. And the nice thing about doing it that way is when I came to do the audiobook, I was able to read it and it sounded like me. It sounded like my voice, So I think that was the book. And the podcast, The Art of Communication, and we now have 50,000 listeners as of this week, and I'm very, very pleased with that. We have on all over the world and on both sides of the Atlantic. So we look at everything, really, from how you sell without selling, how you connect with everyone you meet, how to see if somebody fancies you on a first date, how to tell a joke, all sorts of things. But it's a fun, very interesting podcast. And I interview experts as well, broadcasters and things around how they do it. So The Art of Communication, do check it out. I'm very, of all the things I've done in my life, actually, the podcast, I think, is the thing I'm most proud of.
Fantastic. No, I will certainly subscribe to it. And you said it's available on Spotify. So I will do that. Yeah. And for our viewers and listeners, your book, Speak So Your Audience Will Listen, is it available on Amazon?
It is, yes. It's an Amazon bestseller. So it's up there on Amazon. And so it's great.
Terrific. Terrific. So I'm going to ask you one question on the movies, and then I've got one or two questions for you personally, because my guest, my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little more.
Of course they do.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about 3 decades as an actor. How has that been? And is that journey continuing?
The journey is continuing. My focus has been on the coaching for the last 15 years and still will be. But every now and then when people ring me up and I've worked with before and they say, do you want to do a day on The Crown or do you want to do a bit of this? I said, well, lovely. If I'm free, I'd love to. Mm. I will be doing a play in London, actually, on stage in March next year, which I'm very excited about. Mm. But I think it's nice to mix it up. And I know that a lot of my corporate clients like some of the acting stories as well, because it is interesting about what it's like to be on stage when you forget your lines, when things go wrong, and different types of audiences. Sometimes you're doing a comedy. I mean, if you imagine, if you're doing a comedy on stage and you have a punchline for a joke and you go diddly bang with your punchline and there's no response from the audience, it's kind of embarrassing because the audience know that you were trying to get the laugh. And then the other actor is looking at you going, well, you're not doing very well tonight. So you think, well, I'll try the next line. So you do the next line and you hope that goes better. And of course, what I did learn is that when you're young, the temptation, if nobody's laughing, is to go louder and faster. Mm. You think, I'm just going to wake the room up. Mm. But from experience, actually, what you have to do is exactly the reverse, is you have to slow down and make it more real. And that's exactly the same with making speeches as well. Absolutely. If you find yourself getting nervous, just slow down.
Yeah. And I guess as a theater actor, and I've seen a lot of theater in the UK, I mean, your communication is probably the most powerful tool that you have to link, you know, to connect with the audience.
Well, it is. And vocally as well. I mean, voice is a big thing. I mean, obviously, I went to drama college and that was a big milestone for me getting in, you know, because it's very challenging to get into these top colleges, you know, and I went there at 18 straight from school. And, you know, we did an hour of voice coaching every day. And, you know, and I now do voiceovers for TV documentaries and TV ads and things. And I like my voice. It's taken me a long time to like my voice. And a lot of times when I'm working with people, they say, I just don't like my voice. I don't think my voice works. I don't think it has any gravitas or authority to it, you know. And then I can give them some very simple exercises to help the voice, and often breathing exercises, actually, just to get the breath right. And but I think if people get their voices in a good place, where they're emotionally connected. So I'd work often with people on getting their voice to an emotional connection, because the emotional center of every human being is in the gut, which is where we said before, the lower center of gravity. And if we can get our breath aligned with our gut, with the emotional center, actually it sounds like we mean what we say. So the way that I'm talking now is deliberately from my gut. Hmm. So hopefully, you know, well, it should sound like I mean what I say, which is what I do. Mm. But if I move my voice up to here, onto my throat, which a lot of people do when they're nervous, now it's emotionally disconnected. The voice is much tighter, it's much harder. And it's the kind of voice that people often use when they're presenting. And it's horrible. It's all up here. So we kind of want to get the voice nice and low in the, not necessarily low in pitch, but low in the body.
Fantastic. So Robin, I've got time for two more questions for you. Mm-hmm. You know, for someone who has seen it all, I mean, seen so much success, doing such amazing work on communication, author, podcast host, as you look back at life, what does success mean to Robin?
Ooh, what does success mean? Well, I think if I look back on my life, and if at the end of my life, if I was able to look back on my life, if I had said, do you know what, I think at most times in my life, or hopefully all, I've been kind I would say that was a successful life. Amazing. I think that kindness is the biggest quality, I think, because it goes through everything. When I had a new web designer, we were redesigning my own website and things, and he said, you know, what's your brand, Robin? I said, it's very simple. There are two words. It's kind and clear. Mm. And everything I do in terms of my work, if it's not kind and if it's not clear, I don't do it. So communication for me is being kind and clear, but also on a very personal level. I think just being kind. I mean, I remember small acts of kindness. You know, when you're driving in the car and somebody's trying to come out in front of you, and you just go, no, you let them come in.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything. Mm-hmm. But you feel better about yourself. The world is a nicer place. And I remember once going to one of the toll booths across a bridge that had a toll on it, and you had to pay, you know, a dollar or something, a pound to get over. And I turned up and I handed my pound over. And then I saw in my rear view mirror, a car behind me, of course, and I said, and here's another pound for the car behind me. I'll pay for the person behind me. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who they were. I carried on. So I imagined the person behind me came up to the toll booth and said, here's my pound. They said, no, it's all right. The person in front's paid for you. And they went, really? Mm-hmm. How lovely. Now, that would have changed their day. They would have gone through life thinking, this is how lovely was that? They probably would have talked about it to their friends. So I think that we can all, you know, with the butterfly effect, just be kind.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. And my last question to you. Who or what inspires you?
My stepchildren inspire mm-hmm. me, and my wife inspires me on a very personal level. My wife is an amazing woman, mm-hmm. and she encouraged me to be a coach. She's my biggest critic and my biggest support, and mm-hmm. She's amazing. She's very successful businesswoman, but she's very, very good at connecting people. And she said her skill is saying, she meets somebody, she says, you should meet this person. And she puts people together. And as a result, they love her because she makes things happen. And it's a great, great skill. And she's very loved and by people in the business world and her friends. And my children are doing interesting things. My stepson is a yoga teacher and a meditation teacher, and mm-hmm. he's a great guy. And my stepdaughter is learning marine biology, and she wants to save the ocean. So, yeah, they inspire me too.
Fantastic. Robin, thank you so much. It's been such a privilege and pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for taking me through such fine aspects of communication and communication coaching. Thank you for sharing with me about your book, your podcast, your journey as an actor. Thank you again, and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.